The bottom of page 23 in your notes. In pneumatology. We left off on the three prohibitions. On the concerning the composition of the oil, the anointing oil of the Old Testament. Very instructive. It is not to be put upon the flesh, as we shall see in this morning's lesson part of it. It is not to be put upon a stranger. The Holy Spirit is only given to them that obey Him. And we left off that there will be no imitations. Not to make any like unto it. God abhors all human imitations, human inventions, substitutions. We're living in a day of human inventions and substitutions for the working of the Holy Spirit. We have substituted our organization, our plans, very often even an organ for the Spirit of in the service the Holy Spirit will bring to give a certain air to it, of solemnity and sacredness and so on. I'm not against an organ. I like an organ. But it's not a substitute. There are a lot of substitute oils for the Holy Spirit. As among the children of Israel, as in Leviticus 10, we have the strange fire of Nadab and Abihu. They took fire in a censer and then put the incense upon it, as in verse 1 of Leviticus 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire in them and put incense on them, and offered strange fire before the Lord. And we read that fire came out from before the Lord and destroyed them. God said, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh unto me. In Numbers 16, we have the strange fire of Dathan, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. As they said unto Moses and Aaron, Miriam, we take too much upon you. We're all God's children. You remember when the thing rose high, then Moses said, well, bring your censer before the Lord and see who God accepts. God caused the earth to open up and swallow them alive. It is true that if God killed all the offers of strange fire today, we'd have quite a shortage. Preachers and church members offering strange fire before the Lord. It's that, still that idea that we mentioned earlier at the beginning of this section. Don't be a stickler, they say, on method and strictness to the Bible. We're living in a new age. We need to bring everything up to date. So we have a new gospel, all kinds of new sins, for a new kind of salvation. Like our Lord said, if any man come up any other way, he's a liar and a thief. We're going to find this ladder way too short. Sin, still sin. Haven't changed any. Human nature is the same. Therefore, the same salvation that God wrought for man 2,000 years ago is effective today. But only if you follow the divine formula. In so much of our worship service, so-called, we're offering strange fire. A lot of our singing. A lot of our so-called aids to worship are strange fire. Wrong kind of oil. We are manufacturing our own formula for the holy anointing oil. It doesn't work. God says don't counterfeit it. Period. Our Lord Jesus said, the hour is coming when they'll neither worship on this mountain, that is in Samaria, or in Jerusalem. But they will worship God in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. In true spirit, as Hendy adds. And Paul says, we are those who worship God in the spirit and put no confidence in the flesh. Period. Now, there the flesh is soul. Soulish worship. It may be brilliant, it may be philosophical, may even sound logical. But if it isn't built upon the Word of God and directed by the Spirit of God, it's strange fire. It's the wrong offering. It's the wrong oil. Paul says the flesh profiteth nothing. As the Lord Jesus said, it has to be in the Spirit. Now look at the various meanings of the symbol of oil, and we're following E. Marsh here. Changed it a little bit, of course, shortchanged it a lot. I'm glad some of you are buying his book. I love it very much. My dad had it in his library. Evidently, somewhere near the time I was born, because my book is 1912. And it was written about 1900, I think, or right at 1900, or just before, a couple of 3 years. F.B. Marsh is a very precious writer. And I'm following him here. I'm shortchanging it a little. He uses, for instance, in these symbols, he uses not one water, but he uses rain, dew, and water, and rivers, makes them in three or four different sections. And I've shortened his meanings of oil as a symbol, but I'm borrowing 12 of his, I believe, out of here. He has about 14 or 15, I think. I'm going to go very fast through these. Anointed unto a place of honor. But, by the way, these all show the all-inclusive ministry of the Holy Spirit within the body of Jesus Christ. I always keep in mind, in dealing with the children of Israel and everything that God recorded concerning them, the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 when he said, all these things happen unto them for ensamples, under copies, so that we can put our lives on top of it and find out where we are in God's program. And were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. God had this recorded for us. It's not an accident. I believe these are all apropos to be applied to us to show that the Holy Spirit does have His complete ministry in us. All is to be done in His energy. Again, let me say, as we said concerning the introduction to this, when Christ said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, and then you shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Then you shall be witnesses unto me. It is so wonderful all through here and the rest of pneumatology to remember, continue to remember, His residency within every born-again believer. When He creates that brand new spirit or pneuma in man as salvation, He doesn't leave. He immediately takes up His residency. Christ said, He is with you and shall be in you, and He shall abide with you forever. Here is the precious presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the third member of the Godhead. And He's not there just to be a guest, as we've seen, but to do His complete office work. And these 12 show a lot of His office work. Under oil. We shall see more under fire and water and fire and seal and earnest and so on. But he anoints unto a place of honor. God said of Israel, I anointed thee with oil. As his holy people in Ezekiel 28:14, as in 16:6 through 15. Psalm 23:5 says, thou anointest my head with oil. This is an honor separating us as God's peculiar people. We'll see the seal of the Holy Spirit along with this anointing and honor. It separates us from all the rest of the world. We are a peculiar people. Not funny. Strange. Oddballs. The word peculiar means a purchased private possession. We have the same expression when we say, well, it's peculiar in our own. This is what the original word means. Anointed unto honor, then. You know, it is an honor to be a Christian, child of God, in the family of God, his forever. Second, anointed to sanctify, to holiness. Like Leviticus 8, 10 through 12 and 30, Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and Aaron and his sons to sanctify them. Now remember, sanctify has two meanings. It means to separate from and to separate to. It's not only to separate us from all the secular and profane and rest of the world, but two, holiness. Hence, it's the holy anointing oil, like the altar that sanctifieth the gift. The holy anointing oil sanctifies the anointed. We have no holiness of our own. There dwelleth no good thing in our flesh, in our natural life. But that brand new life created of him is created in righteousness and true holiness. God wants it to control the whole temple. When God says, be ye holy, for I the Lord thy God am holy, it's the sanctification of the Spirit, as Peter gets it, and Paul does too, using that term concerning him. The holy anointing oil was to separate and make holy all that it touched. So with the sanctifying Holy Spirit.
What does anointing mean in the word anointing?
It carries the actual idea of applying the oil. We shall see this in another context here. At the conclusion of this section, in fact, as we deal a little bit more with it. Third, anointed to minister. In fact, as Jesus even told his disciples, you wait right here. Don't you enter into a bit of the ministry to which I called you till you be anointed with his power from on high. Even Jesus, our great example, and he said, ye, as I am in the world, so are ye. And ye ought also to so walk even as I walk. Peter said, as he walked. He did not utter a single word, as far as we know from the Scriptures, of the words which the Father gave him to say. Worked no miracles. Entered into no ministry until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit in the, at the River Jordan and was anointed then of the Spirit.
Is the idea of anointing, portion of the body or a total?
We'll see. It was the head, the ears, the right hand, the right toe, and then the whole body. We'll see in case of Aaron and in case of the priests of the Old Testament. In studying the priesthood, every bit of it, the typology of it, you'll see so much instruction for a preacher and ministry. And the movements of the tail. I know there are folks who think that all you have to do is take care of the big things. No, the order is if you take care of the little things, the big things will take care of themselves. Unlike the man who said they'd have a happy married life because they had a division of labor the day they married. He said, I'll make all the big decisions and my wife will make all the little ones. And he said, we've married 40 years and no big decisions have come up yet. That's not exactly it. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. The very smallest detail in the Christian life needs to be directed to the Holy Spirit. And especially in the ministry. Fourth, anointed to see. Christ's admonition to lukewarm Laodiceans, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Revelation 3:18. This is the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Anointed to do good, to know, oil upon Aaron's head. So James says, or John says, we have an unction from the Holy. We have an unction, and the word unction is anointing. It's the same identical word in the Greek. We have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Then verse 27, the same anointing teacheth you all things. The Holy Spirit anoints our head to know. Christ said he will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have taught you. He shall take up the things of mine and show them unto you. The teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Of course, we used the illustration earlier. The disciples on the day of Pentecost learned more about Jesus Christ in 3 seconds than they learned for 3.5 years at his feet, following him. For they had a brand new unction. New anointing of the heads. This is also given as light. The oil in the temple in the 7-pronged candelabra gave light to the Holy of Holies within. So in Ephesians 1:17, we have the illumination of the Spirit in the epinosis or the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. Is there any way that you can really understand, grasp hold of the deep things of God without the Spirit? Paul said, no man knoweth the things of man save the Spirit of man that is in him, and no man knoweth the things of God save the Spirit of God, and to whomsoever he will reveal them. The Holy Spirit. Here at Trinity College, in these classes, you have to lean heavily upon the Holy Spirit to instruct you. And more so when you get out in the ministry, wherever God leads you. Anointed to do good. All of our ministry of service for God has to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. It's useless. We read Matthew 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. If our Lord needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit in his condescension and humiliation, how much more do we? Anointed to rule. All kings were anointed in their office, as David was and Saul was. 8, we're anointed to stand. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit. Here the establishing and the anointing is one and the same thing. It equals to make stable on a firm foundation. next anointed to preach. As we've seen in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, several times of Christ, as in Acts 4:27 and 10:38. But the one we have in mind is in Isaiah, we've quoted so often. The Spirit of the Lord God's upon me. And Jesus quoted this of himself in Luke 4. Isaiah 61:1-2. The Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, and the acceptable year of the Lord, and so on. We're only given a brief in some of these. Number 10, anointed to heal. James 5:11-15. If there be any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Anoint with oil. It's a type of the Holy Spirit and his work. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. This oil is a type of the one who does the work. As in Romans 8:11, it is the Holy Spirit who quickens these mortal bodies. It'll be the Holy Spirit who will transform these bodies at the rapture into the glorious, like into the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one who heals it too. That anointing with oil is to typify the Holy Spirit doing the work within. We've had this anointing for gladness, Hebrews 1:9. Jesus Christ anointed with gladness above his fellows, or his companions, or associates. So Psalms 104:15, oil maketh the face to shine. So as soon as Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost, his face did shine as the face of an angel. In Acts 6:15. Then we make number 12, last, anointed to die, as Christ was for his burial. I love this anointing of Jesus. You remember the women on the resurrection morning brought their frankincense, their spices to anoint the body of Jesus. They didn't have time the day before. For the Sabbath was going on. It was late Friday evening. And there was no way from the time the body was taken down and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or toward 6 o'clock in the afternoon when they took the body down to put it in the tomb. So they waited over the Sabbath day, early Sunday morning. Before daylight, they came to anoint the body of Jesus. Last loving ministration. Upon this one they hoped would be the Savior, the Messiah. When they got there, they found the tomb empty. And the two angels in white saying, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen." And they didn't get to do the job their love asked them to do. But it was done. It was done by Mary Magdalene. As she took the alabaster box of oil of spikenard, very precious. Many have figured that probably in today's values it would run maybe $400. Or 400 pence that Judas Iscariot called it. But anyhow, others said $50. But anyhow, a tremendous sum. Probably a life savings. It was like we'd have gold or silver today almost, that oil and spikenard. And she sneaked into the upper room where they were at the Last Supper and broke the alabaster box. First poured it upon his feet, if I remember rightly, but then she poured it all over him. And the scripture says the room was filled with the fragrance. Well, all history's been filled with the fragrance of this woman's sacrifice. As Jesus said, everywhere where the gospel is preached, this we told for a memorial for her. And Jesus said unto her, "Ye have anointed me beforehand for my burial." Wouldn't you have loved to have been able to give that offering to Savior? I'll have to preach on this. I wonder if my sacrifice arises as a sweet smell of savor in the nostrils of God. Now, there are two primary lessons on this oil. These are not in your notes. I'm finishing this section. The two primary lessons of the Holy Spirit, oil as a type of the Holy Spirit. First, for service. Enablement, power, gifts. These are all the precious parakletos ministry of the Holy Spirit as our helper. As Paul said, the Holy Spirit himself helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, our needs. But the secondary lesson is fragrance. This was a very fragrant oil, as you read of the composition of it. All those precious spices that went into it. It was very sweet-smelling oil. Oil of gladness, oil of enjoyment, in a dry land. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This is the precious extra the Spirit of God adds to the believer's life. This fragrant life. I have another sermon I've been giving up for years. You know, I have a sermon vat. I call it my soaking vat. In reading a book, or sometimes even in prayer, I've been riding along in my car, and all of a sudden, a verse of Scripture pops into my mind as I've been praying, and then all of a sudden, the visions come to my mind, and I thought, that's a wonderful sermon. And sometimes I'll stop the car and start writing real quick on anything I can get my hands on. I try to keep some blank paper in my pocket or in my wallet. And a lot of times when I get home, then I begin to work on some more. I've got maybe 100 sermons I've never preached yet. I haven't any place to preach them. But to bless my own heart, the Holy Spirit preaches them to me anyhow. But then I have a sermon that I put them in, I'll be reading a book, and all of a sudden that sermon pops into my mind, and here's a beautiful illustration, and this fits it. I'm giving you some advice. If God's called you into the ministry, you'll find this tremendous. You say, where do you get all these illustrations for your classes? Well, I was just reading a book this week, and I got 4 or 5 wonderful illustrations out of it and thoughts, and I know exactly where to turn in my notes in my pile there at the house to put it down. But this one on fragrance, Paul says we are a sweet savor to everybody, unto those that are lost and those that are saved, one of life and one of death. But every believer is a savor. Now, maybe a sour one. There are bitter saints, sour saints. But every one of us knows some sweet ones. You love to be around them. They're a blessing to you. And I'm going to give you a couple of, one illustration at least that'll be in my message. I was just reading it the other day. They say that the fragrance, this is in Jewish lore, I think it's in the Talmud if I'm not mistaken. They say the fragrance of that special God-formulated holy oil so permeated and filled the temple that all the worshipers, when they left the temple, had that fragrance upon them when they left the temple. And if they met anybody, they say, oh, you've been to the temple, you've been to the house of God. But the fragrance was still upon them. If Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights in the mountain with God and came down with his face shining so that nobody could look upon his face, do you think you can spend time alone with God and not have the fragrance rub off on you? They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, the scripture says concerning the 12. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Maybe this is why we don't have as many fragrant saints as we do, and we ought to have, without spending enough time with them. All the fragrance of the spirit-filled life. Psalms 45:8 says of Jesus, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. Out of the ivory palaces, fragrance of the life of the Lord Jesus. People will take knowledge of you, but you've been with him. Now, in conclusion, the priest in the Old Testament had his head anointed, his ear anointed, his hand anointed, his foot anointed. In Psalms 133:2-3, the unity of the brethren, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even ere Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon. And the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. He found one of the best illustrations of the unity of the brethren, the sweetness of the unity of the brethren, the church at one, where the Holy Spirit has welded them together in a single body. He said it's like the sweet ointment on Aaron's head. It covered the whole man. So the cleansed leper in Leviticus 14, 17 and 18. Leviticus 14, 17 and 18. They were to put some of the blood on the tip of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the great toe of the right foot. Then they were to pour some of the blood in his own right hand. Then verse 17. Note carefully. Put the oil on the same place where the blood is, upon the blood of the trespass offering. Then verse 18. And the remnant of the oil. I underscore that. Draw a circle around it in my Bible. And the remnant of the oil. This is Leviticus 14:18. That is, in the priest's hand, I say our high priest Jesus Christ, he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed. Well, who protects for that? Acts 2:33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth. And the Greek is poured forth. Like the priest poured the remnant of the oil upon the leper's head. He hath poured forth this which you see and hear. Let me ask you, cleansed leper, and we all are, cleansed leper, by the applied blood of Jesus Christ, have you received the remnant of the oil? The rest of the oil? The fullness of the Spirit of God poured out? All that's left, the remnant. Whole life filled with the Spirit of God, the heavenly oil. Not only does Psalm 23 said, thou anointest my head with oil, but he says, my cup runneth over. And the dear old lady said, and the saucer too. You have the overflowing cup. Do you have the remnant of the oil poured out? Copiously. Without stint. Let's look at the third symbol in the time remaining. Of course, we won't get through with it by any means. Water as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. As the dove shows the nature of the Holy Spirit and his brooding over a chaos and his complete entrance, bodily form as a dove, and giveth not his spirit by measure. As the oil shows the Holy Spirit as absolutely necessary and his effectiveness in the God-pleased life, acceptable service, and the fragrance of his life, water as the symbol of the Holy Spirit primarily shows fruition. Fruition. Or another word is fructification. Or fruit bearing. We shall be using the illustration of the 15th chapter of John, where Christ shows that he's chosen and ordained us that we should go forth and bear much fruit. He that abideth in me will bear much fruit. The abiding life. The life that is lived in Christ through the Holy Spirit will bear fruit. Now, the primary symbol throughout the Word of God of water is fruition. The fruitful life. We shall see there are others such as refreshment and overflowing plenitude and the rivers and so on, but all of it is primarily fruit. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord that we meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted where are the rivers of water. What's the lesson? He bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. First Psalm. Here is blessedness. Here is a tree that doesn't worry about the drought. Now that awful blasting Sirocco wind that came up from the south and withered the crops and destroyed them. Well, this tree had a plenty of supply, rivers. Planted by the rivers of water. We shall link that also with John 7 again. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. Or out of his innermost part shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. Yeah? This is not an accident. This is not a fanciful interpretation of mine. I'm not allegorizing. All I'm doing is using what the Holy Spirit uses. His symbols. Each one to show some specific ministry or character of the Holy Ghost. This precious heavenly comforter that dwells within us. See? So coming back to your notes, the primary reason for the usage of water as a symbol of the Holy Spirit is that water fructifies, produces fruit. There can be no fruition without water. I don't care how much fertilizer you put upon it. I don't care how much cultivation you do. I don't care what kind of seeds you plant. It may be the highest priced seed in the world. If there's no water, it shrivels and dies. As Jesus said in that same portion we've already quoted from the 15th chapter of John, he also said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Severed from me. Unless you bear that connection of the branch into the vine so that you're drawing life from him. And the life is the Holy Ghost. All of his ministry. He's the one who brought the life. He bred the life within us. And he supplies the life. If you don't abide in the branch, as a branch in the vine, there won't be that continual interchanging of life. God uses this more often of the Holy Spirit than any other figure of speech. The symbol, the water of the Holy Spirit. As fruition. But there are three other reasons, such as bringing forth life itself, the source of life. No life without the precious washing of the water of regeneration by the Word of God. Then there's water for refreshment, and then there's water for the satisfaction of thirst. But water is definitely a symbol of the Holy Spirit, as in this portion we have read, and I want to read a little bit more of it in John 7, 37 through 39. On that last day of the feast, that great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, of Booths, the seventh of the seven great feasts during the year of the children of Israel. And it's an interesting study. You should study these seven feasts very carefully. I know you're having it in Bible history and geography and maybe some other studies. Biblical typology. They're wonderful. And this last one is one that will be observed all throughout the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the last chapter of Zechariah, 14th chapter. The Feast of Tabernacles was for 8 days. Here's the number of resurrection. And starting over again, as God starts all over again in the millennium. During these 7 days, and I think I had some more of it on the next page, of the story of the great day, beginning in the second paragraph. They had their daily offerings, libations, or pourings out before the Lord of water, peace and song. They sang the great Hillel. I think it's Psalms 113 through Psalms 118. And they were supposed to sing this, I believe, 7 times during the year before the Lord. Remember, they sang the Psalms mostly. Not manufactured songs, but the Word of God. And of course, this great Hillel had that precious portion, the Lord Jehovah is my strength, therefore with joy shall we draw waters out of the well of salvation. On the 8th day, they sent everybody that was able to go practically out to the well and filled their vessels full and brought them into the temple and poured them out before the Lord in great libations. And Jesus was staying there watching. Here in the 7th chapter of John. That last day, that great day of the feast, the 8th day. Water everywhere. And Jesus stood up and cried, if any man thirst. He said, you're still thirsty. You haven't satisfied your thirst at all. You're drinking at the wrong fountain. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. But then he interprets it. And he says, out of his innermost parts shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him were about to receive. That word is in the Greek in there. It's not in the Authorized Version, Melo. Which they that believe on him were about to receive on the day of Pentecost. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. That given is not in the original. The Holy Ghost was not yet, because Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. Jesus knew that with all their religion, they didn't have reality. The Holy Spirit wasn't in any of it. They didn't have the rivers. That the bringing forth of fruit to perfection is the primary usage of water as a symbol of the Holy Spirit is not only attested to in nature, but also in the Scriptures, as we've already read 2 texts. And look at Joel 2:23 in the bottom of page 26 in your notes. a promise to Israel. In the latter days, when God shall pour out His Spirit upon Israel, rejoice in the Lord your God, for He hath given you the former rain. That was at Pentecost. He will cause to come down upon you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain. That's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the last days of the tribulation period. Israel had to have this former rain at seed time and the latter rain at harvest, or they would starve to death. It brought forth fructification. Then he said, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil, and it shall come to pass afterward, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That's the all flesh of Israel. We'll stop there. We'll start on page 27, the top of the page. We want to see the four different ways in which water typifies the Holy Spirit, or the four different types of water: rivers, rain, dew, and then water, just plain water, in a general sense. You're dismissed.